Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
And he's out of here. He's out of here. Donald Trump wheels up about 2 hours ago on his way to a big whirlwind tour. I think gone for like 9 days. What a well-planned trip after a very difficult week. Hello, this is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you here, as always, to kill some sacred cows. And we're gonna talk about what it means to be a sacred cow killer today. I've been talking for a few months about all these different things we have that we're rolling out on the website, and now a bunch of things are active. So I want to get you fully up to speed and tell you what they are and how you can take advantage of them and how we can partner together to be sacred cow killers. What is a sacred cow? Well, by definition, it is a noun, if we talk about such petty English things anymore. Sacred cow, it's a noun, an individual, an organization, an institution, etc., considered to be exempt from criticism or questioning. So, what is a sacred cow on this show? Well, nothing. So that's the deal. So we've been sacred cow killers and talking about no sacred cows ever since Call to Action became a radio show, which is all the way back to 2007 originally. Started as a Christian grassroots organization, same difference for the most part, back in 2004, and then God put us on the radio, put me on the radio, whatever, back in November of 2007, and pretty quickly we went down the road of no sacred cows. It just made sense for a Call to Action. That was kind of our modus operandi, thank you very much for the Latin lesson, and that was how we kind of did things. We're going to question everything. We'll question everybody else's truth claims. We have to be willing to question our own. Well, we'll put the white hot spotlight of judgment, not only, and that's non-sinful type of righteous biblical judgment, by the way, to the best of our abilities as sinners ourselves and as a sinner myself, but not only putting the white hot spotlight of judgment on the culture, but willing to put it on ourselves individually. And as a body of Christ, as a church, as a local body, as a nationwide body, as a worldwide body. So really willing to discuss anything, put everything on the table, which is why sometimes you'll hear me compliment and say positive things about the president, and sometimes you won't. Just because I voted for him and just because I'm a conservative doesn't mean I'm going to give him a pass or any other conservative, nor should anybody give me a pass because I'm a Christian conservative or because I love America or I love the Lord or because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. No, there are no sacred cows on this show. Now, it's easy to take that and run to the world of being totally obnoxious. That's not what we're talking about, even though I definitely stray into that from time to time. But Sacred Cow Killers is a way that you can support this ministry. And yes, we are a ministry set up as a ministry, funded like a ministry. I don't make like hardly any money, so to speak, from another proof that it's kind of a ministry. I mean, that's why I have like multiple jobs and do a lot of different things and work in radio and work in teaching and work with the Harvest Crusade guys. That's how God has allowed me to provide for my family. But Sacred Cow Killers are a way that you can support the ministry. And we're going to be trying to expand the radio show right now. We're working on expanding the Facebook page, which is going really well. God's really blessing those efforts. We just crossed 80,000 people on the Facebook page the other day. At the beginning of January, now these things take money to build up a ministry like this and an operation like this. And we want to invest more in expanding to new radio stations around the country. We're starting, I think, in Cincinnati this week or next week. So we're excited about that. But it takes money to do that. And that's the world we live in. So Sacred Cow Killers, we'll talk about that by the end of the show. Somebody that wants to kind of undergird the ministry to the tune of $10 a month. Makes you a sacred cow killer. You're going to get some pretty cool stuff in exchange for that. So we'll talk about that. We'll get around to that. And then the Daily Dose. Your Daily Dose is back. That's a series of devotionals I wrote, right? We just kicked it back off. That's been dormant for like probably 7 or 8 months. We used to do, when I say we, it's basically me. I am, in case you hadn't figured this out yet, I pretty much am Call to Action Radio, okay? I'm in a studio all by myself. I have Howard, my good friend, who's trying not to have a back spasm in the middle of the show, over there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. He does kind of the technical production over there, screens, phone calls and stuff. I do all my own show prep. I book all my own guests. I turn on the camera for Facebook Live. I turn off the camera for Facebook Live. I operate the board and stuff over here. If I'm going to play show clips, I'm going to do that myself. So I really, it's like you ever been in a park or somewhere where a guy or a gal, they have this big apparatus strapped to their back, right? And it's got a bass drum and they've got strings down to their feet and they've got their arms going and they've got a cymbal here and a guitar here and a ukulele there and a trumpet and a bass drum and a hi-hat, cymbal, crash cymbal, blah, 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 blah. A one-man band, right? Well, essentially, that's what Call to Action Radio is. It's really is this kind of lunatic fringe redheaded guy in a studio. And that's kind of what it's been all the time in terms of radio. I've had some more direct production, some people helping me in the studio before, but we haven't done that in probably 3 or 4 years now. So trying to take the opportunity that I believe the Lord has given us to expand this ministry, to reach more people, to reach more people digitally, Facebook, things like that, podcasting, as well as on the radio and all of that stuff. And I want to find some more time in my schedule. I have a brand new board that we assembled. I'll unpack some of this stuff as we get deeper into the show. But if you go to the website, c2atoday.com, it's the letter C, the number 2, the letter A, like called to action. C2atoday.com. Right at the top of the homepage, you'll see options for signing up for the Daily Dose Devotional, which, like I mentioned, I've written over a year's worth of those. Monday through Friday, you'll get that in your email box every morning. Just if you like the show, if you like the way I communicate, especially communicate and talk about God's Word, you'll really appreciate the Daily Dose Devotionals. They're very hard-hitting, that hit close to home. Just about all of them that I wrote because I needed to learn it more myself. So we just started in the book of Ephesians, so we'll be there for several weeks. And the book of Matthew, we do one for a family devotion, Love One Another. That's a 50-day devotion that you can do with your families. But you can sign up for that. It's just a free daily devotional called Your Daily Dose. It's there. And then Sacred Cow Killers. We'll talk about that in the last segment of the show. But I want to talk about this. Harvard agrees Trump press coverage sets new standard for negativity. And I was kind of giving the president a hard time and calling him a whiner a couple days ago. So I need to reverse a little bit of direction there. Going to talk about that. Millennials and socialism, which seems to be a happy-go-lucky kind of pairing. Some problems with that, obviously. And maybe your calls as well. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. Just getting into some little David Crowder music there. This is Steve Noble. It is Called to Action Worship. Called to Action Radio, which is worship. This is one of my forms of worship, is getting on here and spending time with you and talking about the issues of the day, talking about theology, talking about life in general, talking about all kinds of things. A little bit later, we'll talk a little bit about socialism. A lot of millennials like socialism, but then when you throw the question at them a different way, you know, actually using the definition of socialism, then they're like, I don't like that idea, but you change the terms a little bit. And so you have a massively ignorant populace. And I don't think that stops with millennials, sadly. I think it continues. I think once you get into the 50s and 60s and 70s, the average understanding of major world issues, major topics, goes way up. So what happened? I mean, social media, the continual degradation of the country, yada, 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 the continued degradation of our government school system, yada, yada, yada. And you get, the story I'll share with you in a little bit, a couple of good Planned Parenthood stories. So what's a good Planned Parenthood story? That means it's bad for Planned Parenthood and good for unborn babies. That's a good Planned Parenthood story. So we'll share a couple of those. But the other day, I kind of laid into the president, and I've thought in his first, 100 plus days now, I'm like, for being such a wealthy guy and so successful, he's kind of a whiner. That's what I think sometimes. Because it, now the other side of it is he hits back. But I'm like, you know, are you really going to address every little thing that every little media source out there says? And but that's just the way Donald Trump plays ball. You hit him, he's going to hit back. And that's why Twitter is effective for him, even if people like me read his tweets and go, you know, is that worded really well? It doesn't sound, you know, all that intelligent or whatever. And so I tend to kind of be kind of down on that stuff. But what do? Can you ignore it? It's that classic case when all these allegations come out. Do you ignore them and then they fester, or do you hit back? That's ridiculous, and you come back at him. Well, Donald Trump hits back. But the other day he was talking about, and I kind of made fun of this, so I owe the president a public apology, which I'm making right now. I was like, come on, this is the most negative it's ever been. Please. President's been getting hammered since presidents began. All right. That's just a part of our culture. That's a great part of our representative republic, that we have freedom of speech, freedom of the press. We can hammer our elected officials really, for the most part, without fear of reprisal. You can't do that in a lot of the countries around the world, but in America, you can. Now, there's a line you can cross when you get into sedition. You might threats, things like that. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. There are some limits to free speech. But largely, we can hammer away. So when I heard, I was listening to Rush Limbaugh earlier today, and he was referencing a Harvard study. Dig this. This is from the Washington Times. Harvard agrees. Trump press coverage sets new standard for negativity. I was like, I might have to eat my words. So here's the article, and here's kind of the highlights. President Trump has insisted that his press coverage has been historically negative, and a newly released Harvard journalism study backs him up. A major study released Thursday by the Harvard Shorenstein Center on Media Policy, Politics and Public Policy found that the coverage of Mr. Trump during his first 100 days was unsparing, with negative reports outnumbering positive ones by 80 to 20%, meaning 80% of the stories about Trump on average, across all media, are negative. Trump's coverage, direct quote, Trump's coverage during his first 100 days sets a new standard for negativity, said Harvard Kennedy School of Government professor Thomas E. Patterson in the report. He added that the coverage was negative even by the standard of today's hypercritical press. The report found Mr. Trump bore some responsibility as a result of his self-inflicted missteps and mishits, but also warned that the unrelenting negative coverage could also erode public trust in journalism, to which I would say, how much public trust in journalism is there left to erode anyway? Doesn't that seem to be the case? The fact is, he's been on the defensive during most of his 100 days in office, trying to put the best pace possible on executive orders, legislative initiatives, appointments, and other undertakings that have gone bad, said Mr. Patterson. Nevertheless, the sheer level of negative coverage gives weight to Trump's contention, one shared by his core constituency, that the media are hell-bent on destroying his presidency. The most negative coverage, this is from the article in the Washington Times, the most negative coverage, according to data provided by Media Tenor, came from the German broadcast outlet ARD, which was 98% negative and 2% positive, which, you know, they're not here, so who cares? Followed by CNN and NBC, which were 93% negative and 7% positive, meaning 93% of all articles and reports and live coverage shows, whatever, on CNN and NBC, 93% of them were negative, only 7% positive. Now let's go to Fox, right? Fox is obviously in the bag, in the tank for President Trump, right? The quote-unquote fair and balanced. Now listen to this. The least negative reporting came from Fox, which was 52% negative and 48% positive, followed by the Wall Street Journal, which saw a 70-30 split. I mean, 70 negative, 30% positive for the Wall Street Journal. So even Fox. Now, I look at the Fox numbers and go, you know what? That sounds decent. Now, if a president, if 75% of what he's doing, large swaths of America, both sides of the aisle are like, that was a boneheaded move, then you would expect the reporting in the media to reflect that, right? But that's not what this report is talking about. They're choosing to focus on the negative to the tune of 98% at that German paper, or 93% for CNN and 93% for NBC. The contrast with President Barack Obama's first 3 months in 2009 was especially stark. This is from the article. Of the past four presidents, only Barack Obama received favorable coverage during his first 100 days, after which the press reverted to form, said Mr. Patterson. During his second 100 days, Obama's coverage was 57% negative to 43% positive. Still, in his second set of 100 days, second term, 57% negative versus 93% negative, or on average, 80% negative on Trump. So when Donald Trump, the president of the United States, says that this is an unprecedented attack, the level of the attack, based on Harvard's study, not exactly a bastion of conservative thought, Harvard agrees with Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States. This is a new standard for negativity. The question, the interesting thing to ponder, is why? Why is that? Well, I think one big reason is because they still refuse to accept, the liberal media, refuse to accept that he won. And what in the world happened? They were all so sure it was going to be a Hillary Clinton party for at least 4 years. The Clintons retake the White House, and it's Shangri-La once again for everybody, except interns. But that was a low blow. Anyway, and so they were just shocked. And then the fact that the people that put Donald Trump in office, not just evangelicals like myself who were worried about the Supreme Court, but kind of the flyover country people, the unspoken for masses of people who, you know, watch TV at night and go to ball games on the weekend and cook out burgers and may even eat some ketchup with their steak and they live kind of normal lives, and the elite liberal media. To think that that group of kind of these quote-unquote Neanderthal-type Americans, so simple, cling to their guns and their God and their Bible and their barbecue chicken, that they could get anything done in this country and elect such a bombastic guy, such an unrefined person like Donald Trump, they're still reeling. And so Donald Trump represents so many different things to the liberal media, and they have to take, they're going to do it every day. For at least 4 years, they're going to try to take him down. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Because you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever seem forever undiscovered. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. So have you paid any attention to what's been going on in Venezuela? So a total train wreck in Venezuela as its experimentation with socialism continues to unravel. Getting more violent by the day. Just a brutal situation there. So I saw that story earlier today, and I've been following it. And, you know, I teach high school age homeschoolers here in the Raleigh area of North Carolina, civics and constitution. I just finished my fifth year teaching it. And we're going to be putting all of that on online. It's like an 18 chapter kind of study of the constitution and civics in general, in a great course, not just because I teach it, although you watch the videos and you go through one of the courses that I teach, and it's the same exact style that we do here on the radio show. But an incredibly important topic, not just understanding the history of the country. How did we get to the point where we established a representative republic form of government? What about other types of governments? What was actually going on in this country that led up to that? Who are our founding fathers? What is this constitution? How does it work? Civics 101, which we don't, only 10 states, by the way, require civics. They require it. 10 states out of 50. And so when you look around and you see the problems as a result of that, so Foundations of Freedom is the name of that course. We're going to have that. I'll actually be videoing all of the lectures. And I think next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights, we're going to be shooting a bunch of those, and then all day a week from Saturday. So I'll mention that again because I'll need you to pray for me to make sure my voice stays good and everything goes well. But so I was looking at the Venezuelan thing, and then I was doing some other research and ran into an article about millennials and socialism. Okay, why? Now, this came out last year, so you had this millennial surge for the burn, right? Feel the burn, Bernie Sanders, who was an open socialist, believes in socialism. So this article, which was in The Federalist, a great website, by the way, why so many millennials are socialists. So I'm like, the whole millennial question, always interesting, right? So what's the deal with millennials, and are they really that interested? Well, millennials are simply not that alarmed by the idea of socialism. This is from the article. For instance, a National Reason Roop survey found that 53% of 18 to 29-year-old views socialism favorably, compared to only a quarter of Americans over 55. So 18 to 29-year-olds, that's millennials, okay, 53% of them view socialism favorably. A more recent January YouGov survey found that 43% of respondents younger than 30 viewed socialism favorably, compared to 32% thinking favorably of capitalism. Wow. So what's up with that? Well, later on in the article, and this is obvious, first of all, millennials don't even know what socialism is and how it's different from other styles of government. I'm in the article again. The definition of socialism is government ownership of the means of production. In other words, true socialism requires that government run the businesses. However, a CBS New York Times survey found that only 16% of millennials could accurately define socialism. So they're easily led astray. See the point? While 30% of Americans over 30 could. Incidentally, 56% of Tea Partiers accurately defined it. In fact, those most concerned about socialism are those best able to explain it. Wow, what a shock. So socialism to a millennial is, let's just take care of everybody, okay? Everybody wins. This is going to be beautiful. Oscar Wilde put it this way. Under socialism, the famous playwright, the 1800s, right? Listen to this. Under socialism, there will be no people living in fetid dens and fetid rags and bringing up unhealthy, hungry, pinched children in the midst of impossible and absolutely repulsive surroundings. Each member of the society, cue the music, will share in the general prosperity and happiness of the society, and if a frost comes, no one will practically be anything the worst. Why? Because we'll just take care of one another. That's socialism. The government owns the means of production, meaning the government who just really just want to help everybody. We all want to just live a beautiful life and have great houses and cars, and everybody lives this nice life. Nobody too high, nobody really down low. We're all just kind of in the comfortable middle, loving up on one another and having barbecues, and isn't all just beautiful, right? So that's kind of the thinking behind socialism. But here's the reality. So contrast that, Oscar Wilde, to this. This is from the article that I was reading earlier today off Fox News. Here's the legacy of Venezuela's experiment with socialism. Daily riots and protests that have resulted in at least 40 deaths in recent weeks at the hands of government security forces. Inflation estimated at 720%. Shortages of basic foods and medicines. An average weight loss among Venezuelans of 19 pounds, which had nothing to do with the South Beach diet. Newborn babies deposited in dresser drawers because hospitals have no beds. Zoo animals hunted down and butchered for food by the ravenous population. Finally, this week, and only at the urging of the United States, the United Nations is considering the desperate situation in what was once South America's most prosperous country before socialism sank its fangs in, sucking the economy dry. So, millennials and everybody else, listen up. Here is the biblical rationale behind why socialism will always fail. And a more egregious form of socialism is communism. They're on a scale, okay? Socialism and then communism. The government owns all the means of production, distributes it fairly to everybody else, and now we're all just going to be happy. Now, there's one major problem with that economic governmental system, and that one major problem is human beings. We're the problem with socialism, communism, any kind of collective form of government and economic activity. Why? Why are we the problem? Because of our depravity, because of our sin nature. Men and women were designed by their creator, the creator God, the biblical God, to work. We were designed to work, to be productive. And then for those of us that are lazy and not willing to work, well, the Bible makes that pretty clear. If a man does not work, he shall not eat. And is that there to be rude? No, it's there as an incentive. Hey, carry the load. God designed you to be productive, creative, helpful. So do that. Now, our founding fathers were like, hey, this our form of government, a representative republic, which requires self-governance, can only work with a religious and moral people. Why? Because they have to have a benchmark. They have to have a plumb line for personal responsibility and activity. If I'm a religious, moral person, and for them, of course, that was Christianity, that means I'm going to be productive. That's the creation mandate. In all that I do, whether I eat or drink, I'll do all to the glory of God. I'm going to be a productive person. And for the people that have less than me, because I love mercy and I seek justice and I walk humbly with my God, Micah 6:8, I'm a productive citizen and I share. But because I understand that people were made in the image of God, all people, and they need to work as a part of them being an image bearer. It's just how God made us. That for most people, poor people that are struggling, we don't just hand them stuff. We allow them to glean. We leave a way for them to be productive and to be able to supply most of their own needs. Now, there are people, this is where charity comes in, that cannot provide for themselves. They cannot. And so out of our charitable acts of kindness, because we love the Lord, we seek to honor the poor by honoring God, and we care about our neighbor as much as we care about ourselves, we take care of them. Go look at the Old Testament. It's fascinating to look at what God told his people Israel to do about all these subjects. Socialism ignores reality, thinking that everybody's going to do the same thing. They tried that, the original settlers that came here in the 1600s. They tried it and almost killed themselves over the first winter because some people didn't take care of it. And then they didn't have enough for everybody. And that's what there's. So you've got this problem called human depravity, sin, nature. And you have to realize that and you have to work around it. That's why a form of government like socialism is never going to work. Not until Jesus comes back. And even then, we're designed to be productive. That's part of who we are. So you tamp down on that productivity, you're raping the image of God in any individual, which is why the welfare state is inherently immoral and unloving. And guess what? It doesn't work. So socialism for millennials, and they prove it right here in this report, they don't even know what socialism is. And then once you look at it, now this was interesting. There was another finding in there said, okay, let's come at it a different way. Do you want the government to own Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon, Uber? Do you want the government running all that? Do you want a government-controlled economy? Whereas a good number of them said, hey, I'm good with socialism. You ask them that question, and 64% of them say, no, it's got to be a free market economy. Well, hello, you say you want socialism, but socialism is the exact opposite of a free market economy. So what do you want? What they really want, when they know the facts, when they've been educated, when it's common sense, like asking the question, do you want the federal government running Uber, Amazon, Facebook, Google, Apple, etc.? No, I do not. Why not? That's an inherently good answer. And it doesn't take a whole lot of explanation, right? But they sit there and go, no, that's a bad idea. But you said you like socialism. Yeah, I do, because I think everybody should be taken care of. You're talking about two different things, bucko. Hello. And that's why we need education. That's why I teach high school age homeschoolers. And it's an incredible privilege and a whole lot of fun to watch the lights come on pretty much every week as they learn about different truths that are out there. But you have to understand how God made human beings. How are we designed? What did our maker design us to do? Then things start to fall into place. That's why any country, and especially ours, that gets further and further and further away from a biblical worldview is going to become crazier and crazier and crazier. Because you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It cannot work. What system unleashes the human potential? Capitalism. But can that be abusive? Yes, unless you're a Christ follower and you care about your neighbor. Then it all starts to work. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Before I get to a couple of good stories, good news stories about Planned Parenthood, I do want to remind you about our friends at MediShare. And again, this is when I tell you about MediShare, Christian medical cost sharing ministry, over 200,000 Christians around the country since 1993 have shared over $1 billion in medical expenses. It's an alternative to regular insurance for most people. It'll cut the cost of your regular health insurance costs at least in half. For the Noble family, it's more like it was a quarter to a third of what we used to pay. It's just crazy how much health insurance costs. But it's just a different way to come at it, utilizing the strength of the body of Christ that we share. Over 200,000 Christians across the country share our major medical expenses. At the whole Noble family, we've been with MediShare for 5 years now. We've saved so much money cash flow wise, and then we turn around and we pay for our regular well care. So like this year, I hate to bring this up, but I'll go get a colonoscopy and an endoscopy, and that's probably going to cost me about $1,500, and I'm going to have to pay for it. But we save thousands and thousands of dollars every year by using and partnering with Christians around the country with MediShare that we would otherwise be dumping into the health insurance coffers, which, by the way, because of Obamacare, would also be going to pay for things for me as a follower of Christ that I don't want to pay for, like abortions and abortifacients. So this is a legal way around Obamacare. It is a biblical way for us to share major medical expenses. So, they would be, if they ever get around to having some good fixes for the medical insurance world, one of those would be, let me just buy catastrophic insurance. If I get major injuries or cancer, some terrible disease. But the regular stuff, I'll keep my money, thank you, and manage my health care, thank you, and I'll go negotiate with doctors and clinics, which we do, and it's been great. It's a huge blessing, not to mention the fact that we're not paying for things we don't want to pay for, thank you, Obamacare, and we're helping our brothers and sisters in Christ around the country. So give MediShare a call. They'll send you a free information packet, and I'm just really encouraging you, strongly suggesting that you at least make the call and find out all about MediShare. It has been a huge blessing for the Noble family. 855-BIBLE-11 is their phone number, also now available in Montana. 855-BIBLE-11, 855-BIBLE-11. So with all the consternation of health insurance and all that stuff going on in D.C. and around the country, you know how much I care about that personally for the Noble family? Almost zero. And that's because of MediShare. Okay, a couple of good Planned Parenthood stories. Here's one. Planned Parenthood set to close half its clinics in one state. This is from The Blaze. Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains announced this week that it will close 6 clinics in Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico. Praise the Lord, because they're struggling and things are happening on the state level that are starting to cut off funding. Praise the Lord. Keep closing Planned Parenthood clinics. By the way, don't buy into the lie that says if we close every Planned Parenthood in the clinic in the country, which is about 700, that all of a sudden women's health care is going to suffer. There's still over 13,000 other clinics, by the way, that don't butcher babies, that you can go actually get some true health care for women, like mammograms. You can actually get mammograms at other clinics. You can't get them at Planned Parenthood. They refer those out. So I say close them all down. Here's another great story. Planned Parenthood sues Indiana over new law claiming it is without compassion. Now, when Planned Parenthood says something lacks compassion, we're like into the devil's language. We might as well pick up the screw tape letters and start reading it, because that's how twisted this is. But I love that Indiana passed this law, and I love that Planned Parenthood's ticked off. Planned Parenthood is suing the state of Indiana over a new law taking effect this summer requiring minors to obtain parental consent before undergoing an abortion. So a 14-year-old gets pregnant, and Indiana's saying, you need parental consent. 14-year-old, you're not ready yet to make a decision this massive that's going to kill another human being and affect you for the rest of your life. You're not you need some help. You can't go do this on your own. You need to have parental consent. Planned Parenthood comes out and says patients should know all options regarding their pregnancies, said Betty Cockrum, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky. It is blatantly unconstitutional. No, it isn't. And it is entirely without compassion for vulnerable Hoosiers. Well, Betty, who are the most vulnerable Hoosiers in existence today? Those would be the ones in the womb. Those are the most vulnerable Hoosiers because of people like you and because of your employer, Planned Parenthood, a direct descendant, obviously, of Satan himself. So now all these people, Betty Cockrum, we should all be praying for the salvation of everybody involved with Planned Parenthood or every other abortion clinic on the face of the planet. Are they beyond salvation? No, they are not. But amen, Indiana. And it just exposes how sick and depraved and darkened people and the thinking is at Planned Parenthood, that they would say that's without compassion. That a 14-year-old, 13-year-old, 15-year-old girl needs to get her parents, older, wiser people, involved in a decision that could kill another human and impact that young lady for the rest of her life. That's not without compassion. That's compassionate, and it's smart, and it's wise. And that's why Planned Parenthood hates it. And to that I say, amen. Okay. Let me go back to this, and we'll finish up with this. So Daily Dose Devotional, I would like you to sign up for those. That's just a free daily teaching that I send out to you. You'll get it in your email box every day. That's a way to start getting more involved. It's a great little punchy short thing. So here's today's, for example. We just started the book of Ephesians. We restarted the Daily Dose Devotionals. We haven't done these in probably close to a year. because we've been rearranging the website and trying to do different things to bring you more content and to be more of a blessing to you. But just started in the book of Ephesians. So we're still chapter one, started on Monday. So today's daily dose devotional is called Don't Stop. No, it's not the journey song. Ephesians 1, 15 and 16. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. This, of course, was the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. Is there anything, this is the actual devotional, okay, here we go. Is there anything or anyone in your life that you are continually thankful for? I'm generally thankful for most things in my life, but I rarely voice it or act on it. I'm thankful for my wife and four children, of course, but it's not often that I tell them that specifically. I'm very thankful for the many friends that I have, but it's rare that I actually say, I'm really thankful for your friendship. God has blessed me in innumerable ways, yet my prayers of thanksgiving only last a couple of minutes, if they happen at all. Paul said that he had not stopped giving thanks for his friends in Ephesus, and I believe him. The scripture makes it obvious that Paul was a man of prayer, and within his prayers, he was a man of profound thanks. He was thankful for his friends, his ministry, his brothers and sisters in the faith, and his Lord and Savior. Paul spoke of his thanks. He wrote of his thanks. He showed his thanks, and he prayed of his thanks. Finally, consider the opening part of today's scripture. For this reason. What reason is Paul talking about? Verses 3 through 14 in Ephesians 1 lay out some of the most amazing truths of the gospel, and Paul was absolutely exuberant over the fact that the believers in Ephesus possessed every one of them by faith. We need to be that thankful, too. There you go. That's it. That's today's Daily Dose devotional. Don't stop, Ephesians 1, 15 through 16. You'll get those Monday through Friday, bright and early, in your email box. Just go to the website, c2atoday.com. C2A, like called to action, the letter C, the number 2, the letter A, c2atoday.com. And right at the top of the page, you'll see an option to sign up for the Daily Dose devotionals. Just go there and do that. And starting on Monday, you'll get a little Daily Dose devotional in your email box, Monday through Friday, in perpetuity. So I've written a bunch of those way over probably about a year and a half's worth on a Monday through Friday schedule. And I'm going to be writing more, really excited about that. So you can take advantage of those, your daily dose. C2atoday.com and you'll sign up for it right at the top. Okay, Sacred Cow Killers. Sacred Cow, again, just a reminder, an individual, organization, institution, etc., considered to be exempt from criticism or questioning. And how many sacred cows exist on this show? None. That's the point. So thus, Sacred Cow Killers. So Sacred Cow Killers, this is just a community. Those of us that want to support this ministry, of course, me here in the seat doing the content and doing the radio show and Facebook Live and stuff. Join the community of active Christ followers who congregate around the Call to Action radio show website and social media pages. This is right from our website talking about being a Sacred Cow Killer. Let's advance truth, grace, and the gospel in America as Sacred Cow Killers. When necessary, we will publicly question the validity of every assertion and truth claim, including our own. We will share the gospel of Christ when God opens that door. Jesus clearly called us to a public faith, but not to an obnoxious one, and therein lies the rub. Now, you've heard me say this time and time again. This was from a Tim Keller sermon. Someone once said, this Keller was quoting somebody, if you're all truth and no grace, you're a bully. You just pound the pulpit, right? We know the truth, but there's no grace. We're just a bully. Largely, that was me with the culture war. But if you're all grace and no truth, you're a coward. You're liberal theologically. Jesus never said anything about a tough subject to talk about, like homosexuality, all kind of that stuff. But Jesus, John chapter 1, verse 14, was full of both grace and truth. So Sacred Cow Killers, if this has been a blessing to you, if this radio ministry, Call to Action in general, has been a blessing to you, we're trying to follow the Lord's leading and take Call to Action to the next level, and we need help to do that. Because we convened a new board of directors, we're launching these kind of new things on the website, we're expanding the Facebook presence. It's gone from 6,700 people in January. We just passed 80,000 people on the Facebook page the other day. We're shooting to be at over 200,000 by the end of the year, by God's grace. And we just want to reach more people with conversations that are gospel-centered and biblically accurate and truthful. And then talk about every nook and cranny of life. So we need support to do that as we try to add more stations. It costs money to do that. My board wants me to set down some of the other jobs that I have so I can focus more time on this. So they're trying to raise enough money that I can take a small salary and begin to set down some of these other jobs that I have. We want to just provide more encouragement and more truth across the country and expand this opportunity that the Lord has given us. So Sacred Cow Killers, $10 a month. We're going to start doing a special Facebook Live event every week, one night a week, and some other special content. Plus, you'll get a Sacred Cow Killer field kit in the mail, which you'll get a cool Sacred Cow Killer t-shirt. They're really hilarious. The book that I wrote several years ago, we retitled it and rebranded it. It's called No Sacred Cows. A little black No Sacred Cows rubber band to remind you about that kind of lifestyle, and some stickers. I'll keep talking about this. We'll expose more of this and share more of this in the future. Go to the website, c2atoday.com, to check out those things. This is Steve Noble. It is Called to Action Radio, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.